Right, well, this morning I want to start talking to you on a subject that will probably take a few sessions to cover. Our theme for the next few weeks is goes around, comes around. Goes around, comes around. And today's message is called Seed Time and Harvest. I want to start by making this statement to you. God has always intended growth and fruit. God has always intended growth and fruit. Right back in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And as with everything else that God said, it was so. And God saw it was good. God blessed it and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number." And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." And Genesis is full of it. Be fruitful and increase in number. Right at the very beginning, God created plants that had their seed in them. He created creatures that had the seed of life in them that they could procreate and be fruitful and fill their landscape. And he created man, who was also given the command to be fruitful and increase in number. After the flood, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." The principle is obvious, but we miss it sometimes. God could have made all things in a steady state. You know what a steady state is? It's a situation that doesn't change. He could have made us all changeless. So he could have made a garden, put a man and a woman in it, with no capacity for any change or any growth or any fruitfulness, and he could just have built a machine that fed them. And there would have been no need for any other form of growth or fruitfulness. But God's intention always was that there should be a planting and a harvest, that there would be growth and fruitfulness. In Genesis 3, verse 15, after the fall of man, when man has disobeyed God's one command, it says this: God speaks to the serpent and he says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." The word seed here can represent fruit or plant or sperm. Any of those things. And if you go across to the New Testament and you read the words of Jesus, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed." Jesus, of course, speaking of himself as being that grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying, so that he would no longer remain an only seed. Galatians 3:16, it says, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." The scripture does not say "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person, who is Christ. So the promises to Abraham and to his seed were the promises to Abraham and to Christ. And so the promises of Abraham are only taken to yourself by allying yourself to Christ and accepting his lordship, whereupon the promises to him become the promises to you. And this seed, again, is although this is New Testament Greek and not Old Testament Hebrew, it's the same type of word. The word is actually sperma, and it means seed, it means sperm. It means that which is put in to produce something. So you can see in all of these verses, there is an element of fruitfulness that comes about through the planting of seed. And what we must understand more than anything else in this is that through this principle of the seed of God being sown and the harvest of righteousness becoming ours is our salvation. Our salvation comes out of this principle of a seed being planted and growing, because it is that way in which Jesus describes in himself how salvation comes to us. And this is really, really cool. Now, this scripture is a fabulous scripture, and we need to burn this into our heads for the next few weeks. Genesis 8:20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Now, this scripture is incredibly powerful. First of all, you need to put yourself in the scenario of Noah and his family. It had never rained before. When it rained on Noah, it rained for the first time when it flooded the earth. When it did rain, almost everything was wiped out. Only those in the ark were preserved. What do you think they were going to feel like the next time it rained? You try and imagine it. Oh no, we're not going to get back in the ark again, are we? What if we die this time? And the smell of those elephants. You know, what was going through their head? But God said to him, "Instead of unknowns, I will give you something you can depend on. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. But as long as earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." God established a clear pattern of seasons and a predictability that would be a comfort to mankind. It would be something that we could depend on. It would be something that would allow us not to fear, but to say, right now it's raining, but the rain will stop. Right now it's night, but the day will come. Right now it's winter, but summer is round the corner. Right now it's cold, but heat will come. And this scripture, which is so important to us right now, after seed time will come harvest. Now, if you are depending for what grows from the earth to survive, instead of what is on the shelves at Tesco's, then you need to know that after seed time will come harvest. You need to be able to depend on the principle that if you sow something, there will be something that is fruitful and becomes a harvest for you later. This is so, so good news. Now, a season of harvest will follow sowing of seed, but then seed time will be necessary again. A season of growth will follow all planting, and then fruit will result. At this point in time, God stated that the principle in creation would be guaranteed until the earth ceased to be. You might summarize all of these statements that God made under the heading, "One thing leads to another." Right? And so, we come to the big positive. This is a big positive. I hope you read this right, because it is a big positive. Genesis 2:16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Now you see, how you react to statements like that tells us a lot about the way you think. You see, most people, I would go to far as to say, will look at that and say, oh, this is just God's imposition of commandment and restriction. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. What's that all about? What sort of God is this? But read the context. It says, you are free. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Isn't that fantastic? You can have your pick. Any fruit you like the look of, you can eat it. You can fill your stomach with it. You can go back. There'll be some more tomorrow. You can eat from any tree in the garden, but you mustn't eat from the one tree. That's a big positive. It's a huge positive. Even the but, you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, even that's a positive, because God was telling him about something that he could avoid to make himself live forever. You see, isn't it positive? It's all a big positive. Now, you know what happened. They ate the wrong tree. You know, goodness me, there was all them trees. I guess there was as many trees then as there are now. And they had to eat from the one tree. Well, we've talked about that before. We'll talk about it again. But here's the big point. Galatians 6, verse 7. And I would suggest to you, this is just a bit as big a positive as that message to Adam and Eve was. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. This is a positive. I'll tell you why it's a positive. Because if you go out into your field that has been ploughed by your tractor, or pulled, well, it's not been ploughed by a tractor, it's been ploughed by a plough, hasn't it? It's been pulled by a tractor. But if you go into your field and sow wheat, which a little, only a little, probably not enough for you and your family to survive on, but you just sow that little, when harvest comes, there will be enough for you to live the year on. This is a big positive. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man will reap what he sows. I think this is fabulous news. It's great news because a man will reap what he sows, and it's told to us as a positive. It's released to us in the same way. You are free. Galatians also says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not be entangled again in a yoke of slavery. And it goes on to say, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It's in the same context. It's a big positive. So what does it mean? Do not be deceived. Well, the word deceived means to be led astray. So, stop being led astray. If someone tells you that God can be mocked, if someone tells you that a man will not necessarily reap what he has sown, you stop being led astray. The phrase, God cannot be mocked, the word mock here means literally to turn your nose up at somebody. Isn't it amazing? Ancient Hebrew even had that. We do the same today, really, don't we? Turn our nose up at somebody. Still means to mock, you know. It's still the same thing. So, don't be deceived. Do not be led astray. You will not get away with turning your nose up at what God says. I find that helpful to think about that. I will not get away with turning my nose up at what God says. And you know, that's a positive. That is an incredible positive, because it tells me that there's something of sonship in my life, that God will help me and deal with me as a son to make sure that I deal with what he says to me correctly. I think it's fabulous. You know, this phrase, a man reaps what he sows, has been understood by many. Even Aristotle wrote about it, and other Greek philosophers quoted this. In fact, it was such a well-known proverb that even one of Job's pagan comforters quoted it to him. He said, as I have observed, those who plough evil and those who sow trouble reap it. And there are lots of places in the scripture where you can find stories and quotes and statements which are, a man reaps what he sows, reworded. The fact is that we often live deluded. that somehow this principle will not work in our lives. You understand what I'm saying there? That we believe it won't work in our lives. Well, we know the principle, and it obviously works in people's lives, but maybe it won't work in our lives. We think good will never come, or we think that consequences can be ducked. And we go on living our lives forgetting that a man will reap what he sows, unless we want a harvest of our choice, when we sow something expecting to get a harvest. But the rest of the time, if we are not careful, we ignore this principle because we have either come to a point of view that says, well, good will never come to me, which means you are not believing if you sow good, you will reap good. Or you think that somehow you can live your life without respecting this principle and duck the consequences. Neither of these things are true. Whatever seed you are sowing, you will reap a harvest from it. It is impossible to escape. If you are a farmer and sow no seed, you will starve and die. In life, however, we are always sowing something. When we get up in the morning, with the words we speak, with the interactions we have with people, the way we work, the way we operate in all areas of our lives, in our thinking, in our speaking, in our doing, we are sowing, and we will reap a harvest. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, or the wheat and the tares, depending how old your Bible is, the good man sows wheat and the enemy sows weeds. Sometimes we sow our own weeds among our own wheat. The secret is learning to respect the principle so that we will always get a good harvest. In the beginning, when man sowed disobedience and rebellion, from that naturally came a harvest of death. When you eat of it, you will surely die, was the command. In showing this principle himself, God planted his own seed in the gene pool of mankind, in a virgin, that brought about a new man, Jesus, one who was not contaminated by the bloodline of Adam, but who himself was sown to bring a harvest of righteousness and life to the human race. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. Jesus was speaking of himself being sown. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, John 10:10. Jesus was speaking of why he came. He came to bring life. Just as breaking the initial commandment brought death, the new seed sown into the earth in Jesus brought life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God sowed his only son into the earth, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. So many people have it in their head that that's what God's about. God's about condemning me. God's about telling me I'm naughty. God's about beating me with a stick. But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Which is why Paul goes on to say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. So, we have established that God has always intended there to be growth and fruitfulness. We have established that God has set in the earth seed time and harvest as an eternal principle that he guarantees by his word that we can expect harvest will follow seed time. But there is a vital starting point. And it's interesting what David brought to us this morning, because Jeremiah 4 verse 3 talks about this vital starting point. It says this, This is what the Lord says. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Hosea 10 verse 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Some versions of the Bible call this fallow ground. But it's unplowed ground. It's ground which has not been broken up, ready for the sowing of seed. Now, if you think about the Middle Eastern climate, hard ground makes sowing unsuccessful. Well, that's in any climate. And if the ground is hard and your sowing is unsuccessful, your harvest will be bleak. In the Middle East, if the ground is hard, as soon as the heat of the sun hits it, it bakes it and makes it impenetrable. Then, when rain comes to soften the earth and allow any seeds that have been sown to germinate, the surface is so hard that the water will not sink in. Therefore, the ground underneath remains dry and unsuitable for growth. So, any seed that did get in dies, and there is no fruit. Even in our climate, we understand how you must start by using a plough. We understand that you must first break up the ground before you sow the seed. In the Middle East, the venue in which this was written, it was even more vital because you have these tremendous, tremendous heats. And so it is important that the earth is softened so it's possible to penetrate it with the seed and also to allow to rain to enter to bring the necessary sustenance for life. So before we consider in further sessions that a man reaps what he sows, we must first understand that for this to really work to our benefit, we mustn't have unplowed ground in our lives. We need to break up any hard patches in our heart and make ourselves soft before God. Here's some truth for you. You are not self-sufficient. You need God. You are not protecting yourself by hardening yourself to what has happened or happening in your life. You are strangling yourself and denying yourself a good harvest. You see, 1 Peter 2 verse 6 says this. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. So the stumble stone that is talked about here, this is where we are all caught between a rock and a hard place. The hard heart stumbles and calluses itself on the truth. The one who trusts in him willingly falls down and is not put to shame. That is the softened heart person. Romans 10:10, one of the most fantastic scriptures in the Bible, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. If it is with our hearts that we believe, we must not allow them to get hard. A soft heart is one that responds when God speaks, that has compassion in all circumstances, and that hasn't got an impassable crust when contact is made. Just think for a few moments about your heart and your life and ask yourself, has a crust formed? Is there a barrier that is impossible to get the seed past? Is there a barrier that will stop you receiving showers of blessing in your life? Some people worry that if they keep their hearts soft, they will be more easily hurt. So what? So what if you are more easily hurt? I would rather be easily hurt and also easily respond to God than have a dullness to circumstances and a resistance to God. Because they go hand in hand. You can't harden yourself to your circumstances without making yourself hard. And if you are hard, then you are resistant to God. Fundamentally, we need to remember that Romans 8:28 is active in all areas of our lives if we release it. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I don't know about you, but I have been called according to his purpose. My belief for you is that you have been called according to his purpose. Therefore, this principle, Romans 8:28, works for all of us. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Let me tell you, if you have softened yourself to the point in which you are responding to God and you get hurt by somebody because your heart is soft, let me tell you, in all things God will work for your good. In all things God will work for your good. This morning, I was just ready to come to church and I looked out of the kitchen window and there were two ducks on the front lawn. Now, the first thing that came to my mind was that these ducks, or ducks like them, used to come when Rocky was really ill. And they used to come to the front lawn and Rocky would feed them. The girls would join in. And they came for a long time. And when I thought of my dead son feeding those ducks, I felt something inside me. I felt emotional. My wife stood with me at the window and looked at these ducks, and I squeezed her hand, because if I hadn't squeezed her hand, I don't know what I would have done. I needed her to know what I was thinking about Rocky, and I knew that when I squeezed her hand, she was thinking about the same thing. Now, you could say, yes, but surely you can control yourself by now when you see a couple of ducks. Surely a simple thing like that shouldn't stimulate that feeling in your heart. But I would rather keep soft in my heart to everything that has happened to us and the way we have walked, none of which was God's intention, none of which was God dealing with us badly, in all of which we have seen the goodness of God, because God is good. But I would rather keep soft and find that two ducks coming to my lawn bring a tear to my eye than find that in hardening myself to that, I have also hardened myself to the whisper of God in my ear that tells me something good. Now, as always, you can think what you want. But I am telling you that this is what God wants us to do, is to have a soft heart, to break up the unplowed ground. Because if our ground is plowed, if our heart is a fertile place, if our minds, and if the person that is Stephen Redman, if the person that is you is a fertile place, then all of Jesus can be manifest in you. A harvest of righteousness can be yours. And we will all benefit. You see, a man reaps what he sows. And that statement is meant for our blessing. You know, am I sad because I saw those ducks this morning and thought of my son? No, I am actually happy. Because it brought back a wonderful memory. You know, I don't now sit down and cry because my son is dead. What I do is I rejoice because didn't we have fantastic times? Haven't we got wonderful memories? Wasn't he a great lad? You know, all of those things are going through my head because I have captured a part of God's big positive. This is all God's big positive for us. We just need to learn to apply this principle that a man reaps what he sows into our lives for our benefit before it does in us what it did in Adam because we are ignoring it. Did you grasp that? We need to apply it to our lives for our benefit before it does in Adam what it did in him because he ignored it. This morning, I would encourage you to break up any unploughed patches in your heart and allow good seed to germinate in you, because God says a good harvest will follow. Harvest will always follow seed time. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And that's a big positive for you this morning.